praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies, you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org or reach us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. The final chapters of Matthew present a series of parables that are often referred to, even quoted, but seldom understood or explained in a full and complete way. These parables all deal not with going to heaven, but with the coming kingdom to be established on earth with Christ himself reigning in righteousness as the King of Kings. And they also deal with our participation and enjoyment in this coming kingdom age. One of these well-known parables is the story of the marriage feast, and particularly one who was called but then expelled for not being dressed in the proper wedding garment. Ed Marks has joined us today as we come to, I think, the first of several classic messages in this life study of Matthew dealing with the reward of the kingdom for the faithful overcoming believers. Welcome back, Ed. It's been a long time. I've missed you.
Yeah, Chris, it's good to be back for another marvelous program of this life study of Matthew.
Ed, we've just finished looking at chapter 21, and in this chapter, we've had the first two of three parables spoken by the Lord Jesus to the chief priests and the elders of the people who were, in a sense, interrogating him or examining him, and it's fair to say trying to trap him. Before we get into the third parable that we're going to look at today from chapter 22, maybe you could quickly review these first two and give our listeners the background of this encounter between the Lord Jesus and the chief priests and elders.
Well, Chris, like you said, in chapter 21, there are two parables. And actually, both of these parables have to do with a vineyard. In the first parable, this man had two children, and he came to his first son, and he charged him to go and work in the vineyard. Well, what the first son said, he says, "I don't want to." But later, he repented, and he went. Then he told the second son, you know, to go and work in the vineyard. And the second son said, "I'll go," but he ended up not going. And then he asked this question, which one of them did the will of their father? And the chief priest and the elders of the people, they said, "Well, it's obvious, the first one." And then the Lord responded in a very strong way. He said, "The tax collectors and the harlots are going into the kingdom of God before you." What this parable shows us is the shifting of the birthright from the nation of Israel to the church. Because led by the chief priests and elders, the nation of Israel as a whole, those in Judaism who wouldn't believe in Christ, they rejected Christ. And so the birthright shifted to the church, composed of us, tax collectors and sinners.
Right, that's right.
So thank the Lord that today the church, we have Christ. We can enjoy Christ as our birthright. Now, the second parable is about a householder who plants a vineyard. The householder signifies God. He leases it out to some vine dressers, and he goes away. When the time for the harvest draws near, he sends his slaves to these vine dressers. Well, these vine dressers, they end up beating his slaves, killing his slaves, and stoning his slaves. God's slaves are all the prophets that were sent to the children of Israel throughout the centuries. Finally, the householder, he says, "Well, I'll send my own son. Surely they'll regard him." And this signifies God sending his only begotten son, Christ, to the nation of Israel. And what did they do as a whole? They killed God's son. So what he did was he leased this vineyard to other vine dressers. These other vine dressers are the apostles who represent all of the believers as the church of God. So again, in this parable, we have the transfer of the kingdom of God to the church. That brings us up to the third parable, which would be very enlightening and enriching, especially related to our experience. I think we'll look at the verses and then we'll hear what Brother Lee has to say about this.
Yeah, let's go ahead and read these verses. I think with this background particularly now, this parable takes on another kind of light. We're in Matthew 22, right at the beginning of the chapter. And Jesus answered and spoke again in parables to them, saying, "The kingdom of the heavens has become like a king who prepared a wedding feast for his son. And he sent his slaves to call those who had been called to the wedding feast, yet they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who've been called, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle have been slain, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they disregarded it and went off, one to his own field, another to his business. And the rest took hold of his slaves, treated them shamefully, and killed them. And the king became angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those who have been called were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the crossroads, and as many as you find, call to the wedding feast.' And those slaves went into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both evil and good. And the wedding feast was filled with those reclining at table. But when the king came in to look at those reclining at table, he saw there a man who was not clothed with a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind his feet and hands, and cast him out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Ed, I think everyone has heard this last verse, but perhaps very few have ever seen it in its real context. Let's join Witness Lee with this very enlightening fellowship today.
Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Don't forget, this is the continuation of the Lord's answer to those chief priests and elders of the people. In the Lord's answer, he spoke three parables. One on the shifting of the birthright, and the other on the vineyard, showing how the kingdom was going to be taken away from the nation of Israel and given to the church. After the taking away of the kingdom from one people to another people, the Lord Jesus had to go on to give the third parable, not on the negative side, but on the passive side. The second parable depicts the Old Testament, and the third one depicts the New Testament. The vineyard portrays the labor under the law. A vineyard is not mainly for enjoyment, but what? For laboring. Now you can see the Lord Jesus' parables changed from the vineyard where the labor is required to what? To a marriage feast. And we all know in a feast, especially in a marriage feast, there is no labor. In a marriage feast, what is there is full enjoyment. No one attends a marriage feast to labor on something. We all go to a marriage feast to enjoy. Now you can see one is under the law, laboring, and the other is under the grace, enjoying. At the marriage feast, no labor. It says what? It says the fatted beasts were all killed and everything is ready. Come and enjoy. Christ, as the feast has been fully prepared, the feast has been fully cooked, prepared, come and enjoy. We are not laboring here, but enjoying.
Well, Ed, the preceding parable, the one of the evil vine dressers, has a very different focus than this one regarding the marriage feast. Why do we say that one typifies the Old Testament dispensation and the other the New Testament?
Well, Chris, the previous two parables, firstly, I would say, doctrinally speaking, speak of the kingdom of God. Whereas if you notice in this parable, it speaks of the kingdom of the heavens. The kingdom of God denotes God's rule in a general sense. But the kingdom of the heavens in particularly refers to the age of the church, the age of grace, plus the kingdom age, which is the millennial kingdom of 1,000 years. But even more, Chris, related to our experience, and Brother Lee pointed this out, the previous two parables refer to a vineyard, whereas this parable refers to a wedding feast. The vineyard denotes the labor under the law, whereas the wedding feast denotes enjoyment under grace. And Chris, I just kind of have the burden for our listeners, you know, just to this matter of enjoyment. If we are going to participate in the next age, in the wedding feast, we have to be those who feast on Christ day by day. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul exhorts us to keep the feast. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, he unveils that Christ is our spiritual food. Every day we need to enjoy Christ as our feast. We need to enjoy him as our banquet. We need to eat Christ as our spiritual food every day. In John 6:57, the Lord says, "He who eats me shall live because of me." Well, Chris, how can we eat him? How can we eat him as our spiritual food and enjoy him? You know, I love this verse in Jeremiah 15:16. It says, "Thy words were found, and I ate them, and your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of our heart." I would just encourage our listeners, every day, the first thing when you get up, open your Bible up and take the words of the Bible in a prayerful way, pray them back to the Lord and converse with the Lord in and with the very thing you're reading in the Bible. And you will see that this is the way that you can enjoy the Lord and eat the Lord as your spiritual food and feast on him so that you can participate in that wedding feast of 1,000 years.
Yeah, I really appreciate this very practical fellowship. These next two sections are all about the qualification for the participation and enjoyment in this coming kingdom age that's ahead. And the best qualification is the one you're just talking about. If we're feasting and enjoying the feast today, it will not be a strange thing for us to be there enjoying the feast in that day.
Exactly, Chris. Absolutely.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Generally speaking, the gospel preaching through all the centuries has been a success. So here it says what? Eventually the marriage feast was filled with called ones. The called ones are the saved ones. Many are called, but few are chosen. Calling is for salvation. Choosing is for reward. Then the king came in, and the king picked up one. And this one, sitting there, no doubt, he was a called one, and he was a saved one. But he was lacking something. He was short of the wedding garment. What does the garment mean, or what it signifies? It signifies the qualification. He was qualified to be saved, but he was not qualified to participate in the marriage feast. What will qualify us to participate in the coming manifestation of the kingdom? The surpassing righteousness. And in typology, this kind of righteousness is typified in Psalm 45. If you read Psalm 45, you could find there the queen has two garments. We, the believers, all should have two garments. No doubt, all of us has one garment. And this is the garment that qualifies us to be saved. In Christ, our righteousness, we all have been saved. But after receiving Christ, we need to live by Christ, that Christ may become our subjective experienced righteousness. Christ lived out of us in our daily life is the very white linen. And it's the second garment, and it is also the white garment that qualifies us to participate in the wedding feast. One day, the Lord will come in and pick you up to see whether you do have the second garment or not. I tell you, this requirement is very strict. It is not just to keep a few commandments. It is not just to do certain things according to certain regulations. I tell you, this is a daily life matter. Morning, evening, day and night, you have to live by Christ. You have to live such a life.
Well, Ed, I believe that this matter of the second garment qualifying us not for salvation, but for our participation in the wedding feast, this is probably a new thought to many of our believers. He brought up Psalm 45 to help make this point. Maybe you could go over this whole matter again, because it's not only new, it's critical to understand these parables and also the ones that are coming up in the next chapters, chapters 24 and 25 especially.
Right. Chris, of course, what the Bible reveals is that the Lord has a wedding day, and that wedding day, one day in the sight of God, is worth 1,000 years. On that wedding day, he will enjoy his bride. A woman who gets married is only a bride for one day, and then after that, she's the man's wife, of course. And the scriptures reveal that this bride is composed of the overcoming believers. We want to be a part of Christ's bride for that 1,000 years. Now, if we're going to be such, this parable reveals we have to have a wedding garment. Now, on the one hand, Psalm 45 shows, if you look at that chapter, it shows that the queen, which typifies the church, she has a garment inwrought with gold, but she also has a garment, a second garment of embroidered clothing. That embroidered clothing signifies that she has lived out Christ as her subjective righteousness. On the one hand, when we believed in the Lord, we received Christ as our righteousness. But in our daily life, we have to live out Christ so that he would become our subjective righteousness. Revelation 19:8 says that this bride is clothed with a fine, bright, and clean garment, and this garment is the righteousnesses of the saints. I would just say it this way. Every day when we wake up in the morning, we should pray, Lord, live yourself through me today. Philippians 1:19-21 are very good verses to pray. And I know even this morning I prayed this along the lines of these verses. I prayed, Lord, I pray that I would not be put to shame in anything today, but that you would be magnified in my body by the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. If we pray such a prayer, this will give the Lord a way to be magnified and lived out of our being, and then he will become our subjective righteousness, and we will eventually gain that second garment, the wedding garment, which will qualify us to be a part of his overcoming bride.
Ed, let's stay on this line, the qualification for the wedding feast. Here's Witness Lee once again.
Do you live by Christ? There's no problem about your salvation. You have been called. You have been justified. But how about when he comes? He will set up his judgment seat. And he will also set up the wedding feast. If you believe in the first part of the gospel, you have to believe in the second part of the gospel. Martin Luther only told us the first garment, the righteousness which is Christ, for us to be justified by God. The second garment, here in the book of Matthew. This is the requirement of the kingdom. It is not a small matter. Well, in the Gospel of Matthew, this dispensational discipline or punishment is covered not only once. It is covered a few times, again and again and again. When we come to chapter 24, we will see once. when we come to chapter 25, we will see another time. Today, generally speaking, in the common theology, the teaching of the Bible, they all don't believe that there will be such a punishment to the saved believers. 1936, that was the first time I wrote a book on the kingdom of the heavens. And in that little book, I pointed out all the believers have to be an overcomer. If not, you will miss the enjoyment of the kingdom in the millennium time. Not only so, probably you also will be punished. Here you can see this one who has no wedding garment. What? Was put where? Outer darkness. This is not to perish. Why? Because the New Testament says once a person is saved, he is saved eternally. He could never perish. But the Bible tells us God has his economy. In his economy, he has his dispensational dealing with us. After people's resurrection, God still deals with you. One day will be checked out. You have to get yourself qualified. You need the second garment. You need the white linen. You need the surpassing righteousness. Oh, the Lord have mercy upon us.
Well, Ed, this is a deep message. It's one I wish we really had more time for. Let's just get into this last portion. Once we've been saved, we can never miss out on our eternal destiny with the Lord Jesus in the New Jerusalem. That's secure. But this doesn't mean that the Lord is through dealing with us just because we are now his children, does it?
No, Chris, and this is very important. And like you said, we want to stress, once you receive the Lord as your Savior, you do have him as your eternal life. You're eternally saved. But there is also the matter in the Bible of reward and punishment, discipline. And Chris, just as an illustration, for instance, I have four sons. And they're my sons. Once they are born of me, they can't get unborn.
Right.
But if they disobey my instructions, if they're bad boys, as a faithful father, I have to discipline them, even for their sake. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. When we were born of God, we can't get unborn. We're born of God. We are God's children eternally. But if we don't pursue the Lord in this age, if we don't love the Lord, if we don't follow the Lord according to his word, we will be disciplined by our Father. And Hebrews 12 is very clear on this.
Mm-hmm.
It says that if the Father didn't discipline us, God the Father, we would be illegitimate children. But the fact that he does discipline us shows that we are his children. Well, even in the next age, this is the case. In 1 Corinthians 3, for example, you know, Paul is speaking to saved believers. He says, if our work that we built on the foundation remains, then we'll receive a reward. That's in the next age. But if our work is consumed, we will suffer loss, but we will be saved. See, that's our eternal salvation.
Uh-huh.
But he says, yet so as through fire.
Yeah.
I'm not clear exactly what that means, as through fire. But I don't want to be saved through fire, saved and be disciplined. I want to receive Christ as my reward in the next age. And Chris, this needs to be our incentive. See, in Philippians 3:14, Paul said, I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward. Every day we need to pursue Christ as our enjoyment. We need to enjoy him every day. And then in the next age, we will receive him as our prize. And, you know, I would just like to encourage our listeners. Our time is limited here, but I would encourage you strongly to call in and get the life study message of this program.
Ed, our listeners can find out about those life studies you recommended and all of the other material related. There's much in this ministry on this matter of the kingdom. Our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. For Ed Marks today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to you.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Living Stream Ministry is dedicated to the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China during the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Watchman Nee sent Witness Lee to carry out this ministry in Taiwan. Later, the Lord led him to the United States and eventually to the rest of the world before he went to be with the Lord in 1997. Living Stream Ministry now has hundreds of titles by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee available in English, plus many in more than 50 other languages. To find out more about Living Stream and all that we offer, visit our website, lsm.org. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-888-543-3788 or email us radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening.